I appreciate you being here in Grace Walk so very much. We had quite a few of you that were sick last week, and some of you that were on the road, and so good to have you back. Missing one or two, but Pat's back. She's walking painfully, but she's walking, so praise the Lord for that. And Georgina and the ladies and the great, just all kinds of people. Man, this is wonderful. I appreciate you so much for being a part of Grace Walk. And to set the tone for the message this morning, the lesson, I'll ask you to go over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. This will be a very different sort of message. A different sort of class this morning, okay? I'll speak more of that in just a moment. Today's lesson is about heaven. And we are going to start in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1. And if you're there, say amen. Sounds like you're there. Verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." My greatest benefit in teaching these lessons is the fact that I am so frequently affected and very often blessed in the preparation of them. I've said this many, many times, but so often I'll get into it for the purposes of preparing a Sunday morning lesson, and in a matter of time, whether that be 30 minutes or 15 minutes or maybe the next part, the next day where I'm finishing up the lesson, my heart's been so touched in some way that I am so blessed from getting into the Word of God, and God's Word is that way. God's Word touches us when we allow it to. I know I would miss this so greatly if I couldn't do this. This lesson had its impact on me in two ways. Number one, a reminder to me that we will see those loved ones and family again. Boy, how neat that is. Most of you have had far more loss than I have, simply because you're a certain number of years older than me. So that earthly reason is why I have enjoyed this. But the spiritual reason is this right here. It seems that I don't think enough about heaven. I get into this week, and I find out that this is such wonderful news. God has prepared for us such a wonderful future as a child of God. It would behoove us to dwell upon heaven. It seems, though, that the more comfortable we are with earth, the less we think about heaven. Amen? The better we have it here, the less we want to turn loose and take a hold of what's up there. Steve Brown says, and this is what we'll hear in just a minute in one of the videos, is there is a direct correlation between how tightly you hold something and how hard it is to let it go. I grew up in East Tennessee for many years there and witnessed both my granny and my grandma, mom and dad's side of the family both, have such great longing for heaven. They talked about it all the time. And yet I look at their lives and they had reason to, because they both had very hard lives. My granny on my mom's side, she lost her husband early and raised 10 sons and daughters. Some of them were older, but she raised them by herself. And then she got sick for many, many years, and life was tough. So as a little tot, I remember Granny talking about heaven. And then I look at my grandma on my dad's side. My grandpa left the family. He was an alcoholic. And so my grandma on my dad's side raised the same number of sons and daughters, 10. There were 11 or 10 on both sides. I'm sorry, 11 on both sides. And my grandma always talked about heaven. Such great memories. Contrast that to our lives today. Even the least of us have such good lives, don't we? I mean, God has blessed us to live in a time where we're comfortable. And yes, we do get sick, and yes, we do have loss, and this happens and that happens, but it's so easy for us not to think about heaven because it's so good today. In Christianity today, it almost seems like we've left some of our awe and wonder of heaven. And so when I get into these studies, I'm driven by the text. I'm driven by how God blesses me, how the Holy Spirit leads me when I'm reading and when I'm studying. But I'm not very good at relaying that to you. There are some speakers who sway people with emotions and passions, and I'm not one of those. And I know that. So because of that, I ask for the greatest leeway today in having a Sunday school lesson that's just a little bit different, okay? This handout, please take home and do it yourself, okay? We're going to spend just a few minutes of next week's lesson with a time if you do not know what an answer is. But I want to let some other people speak for me today with some things that I have found online. Quite frankly, they blessed my heart. And I want them to put an emotional or a passionate side to heaven for us. Because I'm not good at that. And my dad jokes about his ability to do the same thing. And I think he handed that down to me. So here's what we'll do. This is obviously we don't have much time. This is a very long video, so I've had to give Valerie times and seconds to cut on and cut off. And I want to show you some segments. And I trust and I hope that you will not only enjoy this, but it will help you center your thoughts up on heaven. The first little segment is Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, saying some things, and then we go to a song, and then we go to Dr. Robert Reardon with some comments. So, Valerie, do you have that first portion queued up? This might take a moment, so we have to do starts and stops on all of this, so be patient with us, please.
Hagen has told us, in many ways, we've had to deal with so many love.
You give me one. I've always longed.
Turn it down some, would you?
There's a wonderful story told of an old American missionary named Samuel Morrison. He had been in Africa for 25 years serving the Lord, and because of illness and old age, they were sending him home to America. He traveled home on the same ocean liner on which President Theodore Roosevelt was coming home after being on a safari for 3 weeks. And as the ship pulled into New York Harbor, it looked like all of America had turned out to welcome President Roosevelt home. The bands were playing and the flags were waving and the balloons were popping and all the cameramen were there. And when they put the gangway down to the dock and President Roosevelt stepped off of the ship, there was this thunderous ovation as everybody welcomed Mr. President home. And Samuel Morrison stepped off of the ship onto that same gangway. Nobody called his name. And he walked through the crowd. There was nobody there to welcome him. And he was standing on the curb looking for a cab, and he said in his spirit he was complaining. And he was saying something like this, that God, Mr. Roosevelt, has been in Africa for 3 weeks killing animals, and the whole world turns out to welcome him home. And I've been in Africa 25 years serving you, and there's no one here to welcome me. And he said to his heart came that still small voice, but my son, you're not home yet.
Amen.
They said farewells, ere no tears stained eyes, ere no heartache, grief, or woe, ere no shadow. Hopes will ever cloud the sky. It will be worth it all when we get home. It will be worth it all just to see
heaven, the hope that reminds me that this world is not my home, though it is my assignment. And while I am waiting to go there, I'm trying to get some of there here.
You know, I've heard it said that we're human beings having a spiritual experience, but I submit to you that we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Our Lord's victory over death and the promise of heaven is a foundational pillar in the indestructible temple of our faith.
I have known Robert and Jerry Reardon for years. We have shared meals together and had wonderful talks as couples. After a marriage of many years, Jerry passed away last fall, and now my friend is adjusting to living by himself.
I live alone. Breakfast is finished. I'm sitting in my favorite chair by the fire with my dog, Fritz, at my feet. I have my leather jacket thrown over my knees, giving him a clear signal that we are going somewhere. Hopefully not to the vet or the kennel. Now, I talk a lot to Fritz, and he's a good listener, cocking his ears, wagging his tail, intent on my every word. I'm telling him that we're going out in the country to my Uncle Forrest's farm. There will be no restraining leash. There will be rabbits and squirrels to chase and other dogs to romp with. He's listening as I describe in detail the wonders he's about to enjoy. Alas, he really does not understand a single thing I am saying. But he is full of hope and excitement as we rise and head for the door.
Yes, sir.
I'm now 83, well beyond my average life expectancy. I'm in the last chapter of my life. My thoughts turn on occasion to heaven, but I find only symbols and earthly vocabulary to think with. Here, Fritz and I have the same problem. Thankfully, the word of the Master assures me that there is nothing to fear, that heaven will be my home, and my God of love, light, joy, and unimaginable possibilities will meet me there.
Did you get that correlation? We look at heaven. We don't know the great details, but we look forward. We place our faith and trust in our Master, who will take us there and who will be there, will be in His presence when we get there.
Heaven be like? I don't have a clue. And I don't really think anybody else does either, because I remember a scripture that says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love Him. Which really means if you take Disney's imagination and you mix it up with Beethoven's brilliance, and you wrap around that Einstein's wildest dreams, the best those old boys could come up with would be a kindergarten play compared to what God has prepared for those that love Him. So I don't know what heaven will be like, but I do know what we will be like, because I remember another scripture that says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we will be, but we know that when He is revealed, we'll be like Him. So what will we be like? We'll be like Jesus.
Did you like that? We don't know the details, but we will be like our Lord, and that's we're going to have an eternity to be able to be with Him and become more like Him.
And how hard it is to let
your taste of rapture to come.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
John Wesley was one time being led through the opulent estate of a friend. And as he went through one spacious room after another and looked at the magnificent landscape, he said, you know, these are the things that make it hard for a man to die. I've got two truths for you. The first one is this: there is a direct correlation between how tightly you hold something and how hard it is to let it go. And secondly, when it comes your time to die, there will be a correlation between how hard it is and how much you died before. Enjoy the good stuff, but don't hold on to it too tightly. We ask, how much did he leave? The answer is everything.
The
hope
that is. The challenge is to remember that. We know it with our head, but remembering it day to day is tough, isn't it? We get so wrapped up with life that we forget that when we leave, it stays here. This next one is a neat correlation between birth and death, and I included it because it brought out some concepts in my head that blessed my heart.
Lord, someone I love is dying. I've learned that dying doesn't happen all of a sudden any more than being born does. It's a process. There are signs and indications, sometimes false contractions and pain. The exact time can't be predicted, even estimated, really. And coming into and going out of this world is not an easy thing. These are adventures like no other in the life between. No one can accurately chart the courses or predict the experience. Birth and death are unique to each person. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of walking through this passage, as hard and sometimes agonizing as it is. I wouldn't miss it. To touch eternity so intimately, to hand off the hand I'm holding into the very hand of God, changes me. The glitter of glory lands on my face too, and changes the way I see things. I remember watching my grandbabies being born, emerging from the embryonic fluids all powdered with the rich white coating of birth. I wanted to turn my face from the agony my daughter was experiencing, but the fascination of that moment and her need for someone who'd been there kept me so engaged, 1,000 horses couldn't have pulled me away. My love for these two, my child and her child, held me. Now the labor of death tells me that soon the passage door is opening to a place where an aging body will not be needed anymore. I feel that what seems to be going away from here must in reality be a birth into a new place. Someone, and maybe several someones, will be waiting, reading the signs, anticipating. For them and for me, the door will open just long enough for me to glimpse the eternal, and for them to have a strange moment of remembering another time, another place. As heaven sent one of its treasures to us when those sweet babies were born, we are now sending a treasure we have held dear, trusting our loved one to other arms, other hearts. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Only at birth and at death do we get real about life. Help me remember.
Many times in my childhood, when we traveled.
We had a speaker at Ironman about 3 or 4 years ago. His name was David Ring. I don't know if you guys remember, those of you that went, but he's next. And then right after him is a gentleman by the name of George Yontz, who actually was with the Cathedral Quartet, and he's been gone for some time. But Valerie and I actually went to a Cathedral concert. We were not married yet. In fact, we were on a date with two other people. I had a girl and she had a boy, but we started dating right after this. But he's got a little thing that he does, and it's always, I wanted to share it with you since it's about heaven.
Brandon Bardi, I'm not going to walk.
David.
David Ring is a good friend who hasn't let earthly limitations rob his perspective.
I was born with cerebral palsy. You might not like the way I am, but hang in there, because I'm still in the oven. God's still in the kitchen. And when I get to heaven, God's going to pull me out of the oven and say, well done, good and favored servant.
Yes, sir.
And one day, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be a brand new body. I'm not going to walk with a limp. I'm not going to talk like I do anymore. I'm going to walk and I'm going to talk like Jesus. And that will be heaven for me.
Amen. They say heaven's pretty. Living here is too. But if they said I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home, going home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you look, you'll see that homesick feeling in my eyes. 'Cause I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. But while I'm here, I'll serve him gladly and sing him all these songs. 'Cause I'm here, but not for long. When I'm feeling lonely, when I'm feeling blue, oh, it's such a joy to know that I am only passing through. I'm headed home. I'm going home where I belong. But while I'm here, I'll serve him gladly and sing him all these songs. I'm here, but not for long. One day I'll be sleeping when death knocks on my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore. 'Cause I'll be home. I'll finally be home where I belong.
You go first, and I remain to walk the road alone. I live in memory's garden, dear, with the happy days we've known. In spring, I'll watch for roses red when fades the lilac blue, and in early fall, when brown leaves call, I'll catch a glimpse of you. Should you go first, and I remain to finish with the scroll. No lengthening shadows shall creep in to make this life seem droll. We've known so much of happiness, and we've had our cup of joy. But memory is one gift of God that death cannot destroy. Should you go first, and I remain, for battles to be fought, each thing you've touched along the way will be a hallowed spot. I'll hear your voice, and I'll see your smile, and though blindly I may grope, the memory of your helping hand will buoy me on with hope. Should you go first, and I remain, one thing I'd have you do: walk slowly down that long, lone path, for soon I'll follow you, and I'll want to know each step you take, that I may walk the same. For someday, down that lonely road, you'll hear me call your name.
So in the past 18 years, I've played a few little clips, and we've heard a few songs, but I've never done anything like this. Probably won't again, but I just wanted you to see another side of, or be reminded, not to see another side, but be reminded about what's in store for the child of God. And it's something that we need to remember. It's something that we need to think about. And I'm certainly going to do more of that. Thank you, Valerie, for that. That was very difficult to find those exact start-offs and cut-offs, but I appreciate your patience. And if you can, fill out your handout, and we'll take a few moments before the lesson next week to go over any blanks that you could not find an answer to, okay? All righty, would you pray with me?